You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
No. No, come on.
Oh, you know what that sound means.
Sponsored content?
Yes!
This is the death of creativity. This is the
death
of authenticity. This is the height of it. This is the height of it.
This is the roaring 20s of creativity.
Yeah. Because it's against the spread. Yeah. It's like Thursday Thunder, only we're
Mike, let me stop you. It's nothing like Thursday Thunder.
Yeah.
That's what I was getting to.
Because it's
against the spread.
You guys are contaminating what we do around here by just allowing DraftKings to boss us around.
Normally, I would put my foot down saying, hey, tail doesn't wag the dog here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But when I was first pitched against the spread, I was like, yes!
Why? Pacino like Pacino?
Yes. That's,
why?
They told me the pitch, and I was like, yes!
Okay, yes, you can contaminate our soul and get, you know.
I don't know if you noticed, Dan. He's gambling again.
Yeah.
Well, I've noticed that he's gambling again. I've also noticed that the gambling community in general hates what we do with this show on the Gambling Network. I've also noticed that. And so now we want to be the show that gives them good gambling information while not giving them good gambling information.
On Against the Spread!
Duh.
Can I try this then? Can I be involved?
Yes.
I'm going to offer you some bets here.
Yeah. Oh. No. You only pick one.
Yeah.
As you know, we have a running tally of who's doing well and who's not.
Yep.
And at the very end of whenever this sponsorship agreement ends, that person will get a prize to be determined. Perhaps Green Pringles.
Courtesy of?
Against
the spread!
And DraftKings. And DraftKings. Yeah. Against the Spread is brought to you by our friends over at DraftKings Sportsbook. Use the code Dan.
Which, by the way, if you log into DraftKings Sportsbook right now, you will see Dan's beautiful smiling face with his weird wet hair at the top of your screen if you scroll right a little bit.
Yeah, and you will also see Jessica's smiling face, and I wasn't at all jealous. Use the code Dan when you sign up on the app for a limited time offer for new customers.
We've got a bit
of seriously though, great placement.
We've got a bit of a problem around here in that you can imagine, right? For every place that we've arrived, whatever new place it is, recently it's been like the fandom of Kansas City serious sports fans or Buffalo serious sports fans or 49ers serious sports fans. But imagine how the gambling community is receiving our show and gambling information.
Your hair is oddly wet in this photo.
Why was it? It wasn't weird. I looked greasy. Were they trying to make me greasy, or was
I don't know what happened there.
Was I having a milk thistle problem? Was it my liver and my drinking?
Brian Greasy.
Nice. Wow.
Don't Dan.
Wasn't on the list.
Don't Dan. Don't even look at him.
Nope.
We need him.
Nope.
Don't do it.
No, it was bad.
No.
It was bad.
But
and your punishment is you have to sit out.
No. Again.
Mike.
The
no.
Sorry. Consequences.
Can I take the under on my penalty box minutes?
Out. Dan, kick us off.
A Brian Greasy joke.
Dan, it's your turn on
Against the Spread.
All I want to bet, you tell me how to do this.
You just pick one game?
Against the Spread.
So you're telling me that I can't do what I want to do, I think. Taylor just came in here, and Taylor knows that I'm obsessed with run differential. And he just came in here to tell me excitedly, do you realize what the Oakland A's run differential is? And what I told him is, do you understand the money I've been making the last 6 weeks just betting the A's are the most terrible thing I've ever seen? Like, they shouldn't be in major league uniforms, unbelievably embarrassing. I just keep betting for the A's to lose by more than one run. Go ahead and make, can we make it more than that? I just keep betting.
No, you just pick a game.
But just help me
you
do
just pick a side in that game.
But help me do against the A's.
Against the spread.
Against the A's. Help me do.
They're playing the Mariners tonight.
Okay, just maximum amount of whatever is the A's are terrible.
So you're going to take the Mariners minus 1.5, a.k.a.
Against the spread.
Man,
it's really hard to be bad at this game, and you found a way, so congrats to you. Okay. Charlotte.
I don't even know if I understand the game, so I might
how do you not
have
understand
won
the game?
Here. Let me explain it. You pick a game, you see a side that you like, and then you take the side that you like.
Against the spread.
That's a ticket.
All right, well, I wasn't prepared for this. let me work it out.
Do you want me to explain it again?
I think you need to.
My Chicago Cubs are playing my New York Mets tonight. The Cubs have been on a very terrible, terrible streak, but Marcus Stroman is pitching, so I'm taking the Cubs.
Okay.
I'm all right.
Are you ready now?
I don't have a bet.
Get one.
You got. I don't get it.
Get one.
What, you don't like the board? I don't know. There's nothing I like on the board today. What are you talking about?
Okay, I'm going to take the Red Sox.
Oh, you're terrible at this. We'll come back to you.
Why do the gambling content people hate how we do this?
Awful.
All right. Sorry.
I'll go and you see how I do it, okay?
What do you mean you're going? How many bets are you making?
Everyone makes a bet against
the spread.
All right, I'm going to go Major League Baseball. All right.
Amin is bored. He is doing a board again. He's like, really? I used to be somebody. You guys are going to keep propping me up here to go against the spread. The NBA is going on right now. Yeah. I have opinions.
Play your cards right, champ. You may get back in this game. All right. Last night, the Tampa Bay Rays moved to second in run differential. It's the first time since the fifth game of the season they are no longer leaders in run differential because they lost 20-1 to the Toronto Blue Jays. So I'm betting on them to bounce back today. I'm going Tampa Bay Rays.
Against the spread.
Take it, Tone.
In a game I will not watch, I'm taking the Florida Panthers. Minus 1.5 on the puck line.
Against the spread.
Jeremy Tesche, you're up.
Zach Gallen may win the Cy Young, former Marlin. He was horrible at his last start.
Killed the bird.
So taking the Arizona Diamondbacks tonight over the Philadelphia Phillies.
Against the spread.
Now, Charlotte, do you get the game?
Oh, God. I feel like, you know when someone explains the rules of a board game to you and there's like a marching band going off in your head and you can't?
That's me whenever anyone explains card game rules.
I think board I'm panicking. Game. I think I'm having a real moment.
just pick a game.
Look at me.
I'm taking the Boston Red Sox.
Okay.
Why am I? But I keep
but,
doing
but
it.
But do it.
But do it.
Who are they playing?
They're playing at the Los Angeles Angels.
No, you don't have to do that part.
You don't have to do that part.
I don't know.
You're doing the voice in the wrong part.
I'm taking the Red Sox
to
win against
the spread.
I figured it out. Oh, my God. I'm going to have a heart attack.
He did it.
A panic attack. That's what we're going for. We accuse her of stealing the chips.
A panic attack. Oh my God.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Libertard.
Look out! Look out now!
Just Jack White doing Elvis and Dewey Cox.
Stugatz.
She hits it out of the park.
Harry Carey is who that is?
It's Will Ferrell doing Harry Carey.
And Elvis occasionally.
Look
and
out
then
now!
This is the Don Libertard Show with the Stugatz.
Amin says that he has a stat of the day. Mike Schur has run away and isn't behaving according to Metal Arc rules.
This guy, is he on strike from this job too?
Yeah, he's. There's awful, awful stuff going on with the writer's strike. I think right now one of the objections is if you look at just Raging Bull, writers are getting erased. They're not being called writers. They're only being called creators. Like when they go back, AI is now retroactively taking away from people writing that they've done even on classics. I don't know if they're doing it on purpose, probably, because this thing's about to get dirty. Months and months of dirty that you are about to see HBO Max and elsewhere, because I'm looking, where's Bill Maher? Where's John Oliver? Where have they been? I want to watch these shows. Oh, wait, they don't have writers. They're going to be gone for months. They can't do, those shows can't be done without writers. Bill Maher can't just get out there and do that show unless he's got his writers. And a lot of people are struggling as well with the technology of what's happening with HBO Max, which is as simple as just go to Max, and HBO doesn't want its name associated with the crap Discovery's doing.
Good Lord.
Just go to Max and get a different app, and you're looking for Succession, but you got to change apps. And if you're over 50, you might have trouble doing that.
I'm sick of this. Did you know, Dan, that HBO Max is now Max? They've been telling me this for months, and yet they were not preparing me for downloading a new app just called Max. And now the...
Oh, wait.
Five-hour phone call. Yeah, HBO Max app doesn't automatically become Max.
Oh, come on.
Wait, so this I found this out yesterday.
When they were giving us all these ads of Brian Cox being like, I need a fire breather, and then the House of Dragon, they could have just been giving us a tutorial and like, hey, if you want to watch your favorite shows, here's how.
This is hearkening back to last year when I said, I'm glad my grandparents are dead so I don't have to explain Peacock to them, because Notre Dame games were on Peacock, the Notre Dame Toledo game specifically 2 years ago, which Mike... Jason Candle, you don't need to get into it. Anyways,
I mean, he botched that. Bad time management.
He did.
That was a big fat L you guys were going to catch at home.
Would have been a big OC hire, though, for Miami, though, somehow.
Yeah.
But anyways, I digress. So now I'm going to be staring down the barrel of a six-hour phone call with my parents and my loved ones this weekend ahead of one of the biggest series finales in a couple years, probably on HBO Max, which is now going to be apparently on Max, but at HBO Max still might be there, but it might not be.
It's,
and they're gonna
Max,
have to log in,
the
and
place
they're gonna
to
have
go
to download
for
a new
HBO
app. I don't get it. The only thing I will say positively about this is apparently you can make Guy Fieri your profile picture on the new Max app, which is a feature, not a bug. So I'm very excited about that.
How did like Cinemax become like, because that's what the Max in HBO Max is, right? It's,
yeah,
HBO and Cinemax. And so now it's just Max. And like all the execs at Cinemax, they high-five and like, yeah.
Is there a Cinemax tab? No. I haven't seen the interface on Max.
Let me explain this to you, because Amin hasn't seen it either. And yeah, I just learned this week. I've been going to HBO Max. That's where the best stuff is, period.
And I like the color purple. Not the movie, the actual presentation.
You don't like the movie
you
don't like the movie now, Mike?
I love The Color Purple. I even saw the trailer with Fantasia Barrino. I think she's going to win the Oscar.
Sounds like you don't like the movie.
I like the movie The Color Purple. Like
what you just said.
I like the movie and the musical.
He said it, though.
I like can you imagine if American Idol has not won but 2 Academy Award winners?
We've got
Are you ready for that?
That you don't like The Color Purple at a divided time in America. Be careful.
I said I like The Color Purple. I don't like The Color Blue so much. Why'd they change the color on me?
They didn't just change the color. What they've changed, I mean, is you have to go to a different place. It doesn't just transfer over. When you go to HBO Max, it says, this isn't working anymore.
Really?
This is closed. This doesn't, you got to go somewhere else. Your internet's not going to connect here. You have to download another app. And I do believe they're going to lose a good many people who just simply don't know how to do this of a certain age. They're not going to be able to get over there, get their password, and figure this part out without the help of the kids.
So this is the weird part. They couldn't figure out just change the name of the app. They had to, like, make us download a new app. Dude, man, these Discovery people, look.
They're the worst.
Get my phone, Amin.
Did you see the head of Discovery got booed at a graduation?
At Boston University. And that wasn't the writers. That was the students saying, pay your writers.
But also, don't make me download another
app. Yeah, man. Like, all this, by the way, Jessica's holding up a very sad phone that has, like, the HBO Max saying, sorry, we're closed forever.
All the good memories.
HBO Max is now Max. What? How am I going to explain this to my old-ass family?
This
doesn't mean anything, and barely is English.
So many memories on HBO Max, like Mortal Kombat. Remember when that came out?
Oh, that's a time.
I'm still getting used to HBO Max not being HBO Go anymore, and now they're switching it up on me to Max.
It was HBO Now for like a
hour. Yeah, I'm just trying to watch my shows.
But it's all ridiculous. They're doing all this to us. Why? So that 90 Day Fiance can find a little nook in between Succession and Game of Thrones? How ridiculous is that? Hey, Discovery, keep your trash TV on your dumb app over there.
Okay, hang on a second.
It's trash.
There's a lot of good Discovery shows.
Name one.
For the love of kitchens.
Everything on Food Network, first of all.
That is true.
Name one. I mean, a lot of people, a lot of America likes.
I can do a top five.
Shark Week. You know, Shark Week
a
show.
The top five.
You know what? A lot of America does, and a lot of America can take their trash ass over to the Discovery Plus app and stay over there. Keep HBO Max where we got like quality programming over here, where writers, real
do
writers, not reality writers.
Do they get HGTV on this?
Yes.
They do?
Well, they have Joanna and Chip Gaines.
Magnolia Network, I think, is like its own thing now, though.
Do they even have
wait. Discovery?
It's not in. It's not on Max anymore?
No, I think it is, but I don't think that's part of HGTV anymore.
Are both property brothers on Max?
Let me be clear.
Including the one dating Zooey Deschanel.
There's only three franchises that matter from HGTV. Property Brothers.
Yeah.
Love It or List It.
Mm-hmm.
House Hunters.
And House Hunters International.
Which
any
is
variation.
Vacation House Hunters, too. Very excited.
Any House
You're
Hunters.
Not a Windy City rehab gal.
Get out all these other. Because all they're doing is they're trying to be one
not
of those three shows.
Flop guy?
No, Love It or List It.
Christine on the Coast?
See, they're all trying to
How about Tiny Homes?
No, I love Tiny Homes.
Tiny Homes.
Oh, I love Tiny Homes. I will watch Tiny Homes.
Oh, they got you. It looks like a mean.
Yeah, see? He's smiling. He's smiling. Tiny Homes. I don't live in New York.
But House Hunters International specifically does something when you watch it. Yeah. You're like, I should quit my job and move to Aruba. Oh, this is incredible.
Oh, man. It's like, they're like, and they always have like these weird existential crises. Like, Michael wants to live closer to the shore, but Francine wants to live closer to work or like the shops or whatever.
Also, it's like a little house is like $1 million. Like, that's our budget, a million. It's like, what do you do? I'm a teacher.
They're moving
like,
from
what?
Like
I'm a professional
zero.
Mermaid. My budget is $7 million.
Ooh, enjoy Macau.
Can we please enjoy Charlotte Wilder, alleged young person, wandering into the wilderness and the fray of...
Let's thief.
She wants her shares.
I just want to know where my shows are.
I don't think I am way older in my head than I am in my actual years. I'm an old, like, not cool old. You know, people say they're an old soul. I'm old in the sense that, like, I don't know how to make things work. Like, I don't know how to, I just want my shows. I'm old in the sense that I just want my shows.
I just want my shows.
Dude, I've fallen into it just because I also have the Xfinity remote and I just go, sports. sports.
I refuse. I refuse any sort of voice activated technology
Good for
of
you.
Any kind.
I also, when the Premier League is on, I also do it in the accent to test it.
Oh,
Yeah. Why?
Do you do that too?
Manchester City.
Manchester United.
Why?
Why? Because, man, I'm not having some device listen to me and learn my voice and then try to like mimic it at some other point.
iOS
in time.
Is going
to
be able to do that after 15 minutes of training. See? Replicate your voice.
See, they're already starting.
You guys, Chelsea. You guys would enjoy then Valerie laughing in another room at me because I was trying to figure out Max and HBO Max, and I just say to the voice activated thing, Succession, and now Succession of Bridges is playing all over the house on Musical.ly, and I can't turn it off.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text SUNNY to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text SUNNY to 200-300. That's SUNNY to 200-300. SUNNY to 200-300.
Don Libertard.
Elton John does not like performing Crocodile Rock, but to the point we were making, I think he still does because he just knows the crowd wants to hear it.
Right, well, he has to.
I feel like that's safe. He might be litigious, but that was such a poor imitation of the song.
Stugatz.
We can all agree, Piano Man.
This might get shot.
The crowd needs to sing Piano Man.
Yeah, but I want to hear Billy Joel sing Piano Man.
Most of it. He just lets you at the end go.
Does he still have chest? She just wants Suey nominations. That's what she wants.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. She wants a rack up Suey nominations.
Is that what she's going for?
I'm trying to avoid
fake
that.
Fake Crocodile Rock. Fake Billy Joel's piano. You got it. It's all right.
This is the Don Levitar Show with the Stugatz.
I'm interested in this guy's story. He was a linebacker for the Tennessee Titans from 2007 to 2010. He injures his neck running into that monster, Martellus Bennett, because tight ends are way too big in the league and the evolution of the sport is unhealthy for everybody. And he decides to go into politics. So clearly head injured. Democratic congressman from Texas who is going up against Ted Cruz for Senate in next year's election. And thank you for joining us, Colin Allred. But before we get started, I'm just going to say, Ted Cruz seems like a real asshole.
What do you want me to say to that?
Well, you know, I don't know whether you're running, like, I don't know why you got into politics, how you got into politics, where you got into politics. But my guess is if you come from the discipline of football, you are appalled by that politics isn't merit. Politics is nonsense.
That's right. No, I mean, listen, Ted Cruz wouldn't last very long in the locker room. He just wouldn't. I know with the work you've done covering there in Miami and around the country, you know that the locker room would chew somebody like that up and spit him out. Like, he's a me guy. You know, he's somebody who doesn't takes credit for things he hasn't done, who doesn't show up when you need him most, and who is constantly just trying to run to the cameras and pit people against each other. Obviously, it's not a very good recipe for being a senator, in my opinion. But on a football team or in a locker room, I mean, that locker room would definitely be like, listen, this guy's got to go.
But do you understand how or why that wins? Like, I don't know. I'm not politically astute. I would not describe myself as that. I don't know if you got into politics being politically astute. But when you got into politics sometime after 2010 and you leave football, you can't know that America is this bleeped up.
You know, I do think that cynicism and, you know, fear can work sometimes. But in my opinion, and I think in kind of the American experience, we've seen that it doesn't work for long and that what people really want is to be hopeful and to talk about the future and what we can do together. And that's kind of the long story of our country, right? The arc of our country is that we do sometimes elect people who, are among the worst of us, honestly. But we always have found a way to steadily progress and perfect our union. That's how I ended up serving in the administration of the first African-American ever elected president. you know, in the Obama administration, and some, you know, the first African American to ever represent in Congress the area that I represent, is that we make progress. And when you give folks a different vision, you know, I think that they can respond to it. I think that's what's going to happen this election too.
Can you explain to me how it is that you receive someone like Tommy Tuberville, who made his fame and name off of the bodies of largely African-American football players, now being what he is? Because you're going to have to work with him here, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing I dislike most about you know, people like Tuberville is that, as you said, he knows better. But, you know, coaches, you know, come from a system of accountability. They believe in creating accountability, and they recognize and they point out, you know, BS very clearly. And that's how you become a successful coach. And what I've seen from him, he's just decided just to abandon all that so that he could become a senator. And I'm not really sure that why that would be worth it, you know, to throw away a lifetime of working with young men, probably impacting a lot of lives positively, you know, giving you know, those guys a chance to become something that they never would have become maybe otherwise, and then to turn around and say, you know what, I'm going to pull up this ladder behind me and make sure that, you know, the people that, the kids who I was working with, you know, people who maybe don't have as much athletic talent as them aren't going to have a chance to chase their version of the American dream. I mean, that's not, it's, I think people sense, you know, the disconnect there. And I think that's what you're getting at, which is like, you know, we, if you're going to be a successful coach in college football, particularly in the South, we know who you were recruiting. We know the homes that you went into. We know the promises you made to those kids. And when you were coach, I guarantee you, you did care about those kids. But now you don't. I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
Tuberville said, among other things, that when rape or sexual assault allegations came against Trump, that that makes him now want to vote for Trump twice as much because of the witch hunt, or two times because of the witch hunt around him. Pair that with the report by the prosecutor John Durham into theories about the unproven deep state conspiracies against Trump. After that report turned up basically nothing, this is what Tuberville had to say.
If people don't go to jail for this, American people should just stand up and say, listen, enough's enough. Let's don't have elections anymore. I wish there was a special investigation into the voter fraud.
This is what you're fighting against. It doesn't seem like it's a very fair fight, Colin. You're going to try and fight this fair, and what's happening over on the other side has gotten so overt and so rampantly anti-democracy that I don't know how that wins against your viewpoints.
This is not who we are, Dan. I mean, I really believe that, and we have to believe that. My experience has been that it's not. You know, I got elected by beating a 22-year incumbent who in some ways was a lot like, you know, Tuberville, or like Cruz, you know, who was arrogant, who was lazy, who wasn't really doing the work, who didn't really care about the people he was representing. And, you know, we beat him even though he'd been unopposed in the election before, because everybody thought he was so unbeatable. So my experience has been that, you know, if you can present an alternative message about who we actually are and what we can do together, that people will respond to it. And yeah, we're not going to win every election in every state. And obviously, you know, Tuberville got elected, you know, and we have to just deal with that now. But one of the things that really, you know, I think most annoys me when I see, you know, a coach saying something like that, or, you know, Trump talking about, oh, well, that was just locker room talk. Not in the locker rooms I was in. And I know, Dan, you spent a lot of time in locker rooms too. We didn't talk like that. We didn't talk about, you know, sexually assaulting women. And if somebody did say that, then, you know, the guys that I was around would be like, listen, and I would too. Like, what the heck are you talking about? I mean, we would come down hard on somebody, or we'd make sure that something was done. This is not how, you know, the NFL and locker rooms are not places where just anything goes. We have accountability there. And I think that's what people want in our politics too. And so we have to keep believing. We can't give up. And I, you know, I really think that we're a much better country and our people are much better than our politics. We have to kind of, you know, shrink that gap a little bit.
That's positive messaging. But I'm just wondering, on a human level, when you see whatever it is, Herschel Walker, I don't know, you're probably not old enough to be disappointed by some of the things Herschel Walker used to represent and what he...
He was in Dallas when I was growing up. I remember him well.
Okay, yeah. Well, who's the person or where you get heartbroken? Where you where you're like, really? Like, you're going to try, this is the path you've chosen.
But he didn't win also, Dan, and we have to remember that too. You know, he was running in a state and at a time that was probably set up for him to win, and he didn't, because the people of Georgia were like, no, we're not going to let, you know, him become a senator. And so we have to remember that. And, you know, listen, I mean, the incentive is all off in politics right now, where if you can be the worst version of yourself, if you can, you know, pick on people and attack people and say it's not your fault that something's going on in your life, it's these immigrants' fault or these folks' fault, then, yeah, you can get some votes. And that's a shame. But that's been the way it has been in our country forever. But we've also shown that we've had leaders emerge who have led us in a positive direction, pulled us together around ideas of what we actually can do. And that's how we've ended up where we are, which is honestly, in the course of just my lifetime, dramatically different. Things that are, you know, now going on. You know, if I'm elected to the United States Senate, when I am, I'll be the first ever African-American elected from Texas. I think I'll be the 12th ever African-American in the Senate, period, you know, in our long history. So we have made a lot of progress, and we can't forget that. We have to remember who we are. And I think sports teaches us a lot of those lessons. A lot of the storylines that we most love are about, you know, these great teams that come together. And look at the Miami Heat last night, you know, playing like, you know, a bunch of undrafted guys and just, you know, playing all together. We intrinsically know that, and we look for that. We just need more of it in our politics.
But you're positive. You're doing you're saying positive things, but Ted Cruz keeps winning. Like, he's won for many, many years being this overt.
He's won twice. He won once in an election where basically didn't have any opponent. And then in the last election, he was reelected by two points. He barely got reelected. And so in this one, we're going to beat him. And we'll send a very strong message with that. You know, I think that, as I said, my experience is, you know, growing up, being raised by a single mother who was a public school teacher, you know, making it to the NFL, going to law school, becoming a lawyer, serving in Congress, has been possible because of who we are. And if we were who Ted Cruz thinks we are, then I honestly believe that I wouldn't exist. And so, you know, I'm not somebody who can give up on that.
You also didn't answer my question about who's broken your heart.
Well, I mean, I think you're right about Herschel Walker. You know, I remember when he was in Dallas and he did, you know, he was doing bobsledding and ballet, and he seemed like a very interesting guy. And, you know, he's become just, you know, the worst version of what anybody could think of what he would have become. But, you know, I've seen others. I mean, I think, as I said, there are folks who, when they get a chance, you get a camera in their face and they get some attention from saying something, you know, they'll take it, and they know that it's not right, but they'll do it anyway. And every time I see that, it hurts me. And I've seen a lot of guys who I think, you know, particularly from the athletics world, who've gone into politics, who obviously have forgotten everything they learned when they were on teams. Obviously, they were not the same person they were when they were in that locker room, because I know that they would not have made it if they were acting like the way they are now.
What are the details that you think are most interesting about what you had to handle or help with handling in the release of Brittany Griner?
Oh, you know, I mean, first of all, obviously, I'm just so glad that she's, you know, back playing right now and looking great. You know, had a great game the other day, and, you know, great debut, and she's going to be dominating like she always does. But, you know, the biggest thing was to make sure that our State Department, who was doing the negotiations with the Russians, who we basically have, you know, no relations with whatsoever, and who were almost at war with in some ways, that they understood that we were going to support them in the eventual prisoner swap that was going to have to take place. We knew that the Russians were floating in their media, you know, certain names of people that they wanted to see swapped for Brittany. It was always going to be an unequal swap. It was always going to be, you know, someone who had done something terrible for someone who had done nothing wrong at all. But that, I think, also said something about who we were as Americans, that we would do anything to bring home this young American, and that the Russians just want to bring home, you know, a mass murderer like the Merchant of Death, who they ended up, you know, trading for. And so we wanted to make sure that the focus was on getting her home as soon as possible, and that we understood and we would support them in that swap when the time came. And when they struck the deal, I was glad to see it. Obviously, so happy to see her doing well. As a Baylor guy, I love it.
And what is the answer to the person who says, well, Merchant of Death for a basketball player, not a fair trade, even though, of course, bringing home an American life is bringing home an American life?
Well, it's not a fair trade in terms of what they've done, and that's not the point. The point is that if we can, we will bring you home. And that says something about who we are, that we believe so much in the value of our human life. We're not a totalitarian, you know, dictatorship like what they have under Putin in Russia, that we, you know, are going to actually try and look after our own people. It's not like Putin's trying to use the Brittany Griner situation to help any Russians. He was trying to use it to add one more terrible murderer to basically back to his fold. And so that says a lot about us and about them. And so we should feel, I think, good that as Americans, we're going to do everything we can to protect our fellow Americans, and we'll bring you home if you get in a situation like that, and then we'll stand together behind you.
Were you moved in any way by her standing for our anthem? Because a lot of conflicting interests under that flag make people view that flag very differently depending on their perspective, their culture, their experience, and her experience is with a U.S. government who just rescued her.
Well, everything I was told by the team who went to go get her and brought her back was just how incredibly warm and how kind she was to everybody she interacted with. Now she wanted to talk and take pictures with everybody on the team, wanted to thank everybody. She's gone, I think, out of her way to express her gratitude. And, listen, when it comes to whether or not you want to protest or not, that's your right as an American. But I think for her, obviously playing that game and probably hearing our national anthem probably meant something very different than it ever had before. And that's important, too.
How do you feel about Jerry Jones in your state saying everyone on his team is standing for the flag?
Well, I don't appreciate, of course, I think just the overall attitude that Jerry takes to his players. I think it comes across, very much as, I'm in charge here and you don't have any say over anything. And if you speak out, we're going to get rid of you. And, to me, that doesn't really make sense for a workplace. It doesn't make sense, for athletes who should be able to express themselves. But we know that here in Texas about Jerry. It's not a surprise. And I think that, any Cowboys player who wants to express themselves should be able to. Well, we can disagree about whether or not you support their right to protest. But in America, in my opinion, we should agree that you have a right to protest.
Texans hate politics and love their football. How are you going to get Texans? Jerry Jones, you said it very politely there. Jerry Jones believes in ownership with all of the ramifications of that word. He behaves like a man who has ownership over his employees, and you have to get people to the voting booth because you have to knock out Ted Cruz, who, as you mentioned, didn't win by very much last time and has done a lot of awful since then. I could list it, but it's too long to list. How do you get people to the voting booth in your state?
Yeah, well, first of all, we got to make sure people know who I am. They got to know my story. I was born and raised in Dallas, my single mother, the path that I've been on, because I think it says a lot about who we are, that, we have a community and a state that can allow folks to have a story like mine. And we have to inspire people and give them something to believe in. Yes, we want to make sure they know just how bad Ted Cruz is, but, a lot of people already know that. And, it's amazing to me how people come to me and tell me how embarrassed they are by our senator. And I tell them, we don't have to be embarrassed by our senator. We can get a new one. That's what elections are all about. You don't have to have somebody representing you who, when the state is frozen and people are sitting there in the dark, decides that that's the time for them to go off to Cancun on vacation. Or who right now, Dan, is probably podcasting as much as you are because he's doing 3 podcasts a week as a United States senator, is supposed to be representing 30 million Texans who have a lot of needs and wants and who need a senator who's working for them. So we got to make sure they know who he is, make sure they know who I am, and then we got to push folks out. And that's been our biggest issue in Texas, honestly, has been just getting enough people to actually be involved in our democracy. I was a voting rights lawyer before I came to Congress, and I know how hard it is to vote in our state. I've been a part of trying to make it easier as much as I can, to try and help folks comply with these crazy laws we have. So I know that that's part of it, but it's also that not enough folks have not felt like, going to the voting booth is going to have an impact on their life. And what I always tell them, if you're not at the table, you're going to be on the menu because there's going to be decisions made about you and your family that you're not going to support, that are not representative of your community unless you're involved in your elections.
You can only pick one from the Cruz docket. The worst of all of these crimes: publicly recruited Kyrie Irving to play for the Rockets because he's an anti-vaxxer. Attacked both Big Bird and Elmo's dad because they are not anti-vaxxers. Blamed, quote, slacker baristas for young people in this country needing temporary forgiveness on their student loans. Voted against making it harder to overturn an election. Called for more cops in schools to prevent mass shootings. flew to Cancun, as you mentioned, while Texans froze. The worst of those is?
Yeah, well, you know, the insurrection. He's one of the main architects of the insurrection. I was there on January 6th. I was on the House floor when, you know, the mob was trying to break in. I, you know, took off my jacket and thought that I was going to have to defend my colleagues because, you know, when there's an NFL linebacker, you know, in the House, and anytime anything physical happens, everybody looks to me. And, you know, I take our democracy very seriously. I think that, you know, it's a precious thing and it's easy to lose. It's not guaranteed. It's not written in stone. It's incumbent on every generation of Americans to make sure that we hold on to it and that we preserve it. When you have somebody who actively tried to overturn an American presidential election, they have to have accountability. They have to in their next election. That's the way we do things. Or, of course, if there's any criminal conduct, which is what we're seeing with the former president. In this case, Ted Cruz is going to have his reckoning in this election. And a lot of it's going to be about those things you said. But it's also going to be about that he, somebody who was one of the main proponents of trying to overturn our election.
You went off the board and you're wrong. It is Elmo. The correct answer is Elmo. Thank you.
I got two little kids. Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, totally wrong. That other thing, whatever that was, it was close, but it was Elmo over Big Bird. Thank you.
Yep, thank you.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.